singing. I'm glad to have Brother Bill with us back today. And remember, our block party is coming up on the 14th. If you haven't signed up yet, sign up, or you might get drafted. And remember that. And then there's a note in the bulletin about the men's retreat in September. You can see Brother George for more information about that. And some other announcements in there, so be sure you take note of those. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. First little section of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah really focuses on on the nations and on people, kingdoms, and leaders, and the situations that were going to lead to Judah's captivity later on. And now, starting in chapter 40, the focus shifts significantly. And now Isaiah says, all right, that's what man's done, and what good and bad we see that they've been capable of. But now he says, all right, now we're going to look and see what God is going to do about this situation. And so in Isaiah chapter 40, God says, you know what, I need to, again, be the focus of my people. He says, listen, I need to be great among the people. And that was true in Isaiah's day. When God became less than great, trouble came. And people began falling away from the Lord. And then Isaiah has been preaching a message of both judgment, but also of restoration. And the only way we can be restored, it was true in Isaiah's day for Israel, it's true in our day as well. The only way we're going to find peace and restoration and the strength we need is in God. If we're looking to do it on our own, we are going to fail every single time. And so God said, you know what, here's what I want you to understand and want you to remember. And so we're going to see in Isaiah chapter 40 this morning that there's three great things that God does for his people. And the first is this, that there's a great restoration. Remember that Isaiah said, listen, you crazy yo-yos, you have wandered so far away from God. You've forgotten about him. You've ignored him. You've let other foreign gods come into the temple, and you've done all the very things that God told you not to do, you've been doing. And so the first five verses of Isaiah chapter 40, God gives us a great reminder that he's going to bring restoration. He said, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This message probably did not make a whole lot of sense yet to the people, because they hadn't been taken into captivity yet. The day would come very soon when they would be. But who had been taken into captivity was the northern 10 tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel. Had been carted off captive But Isaiah ministered to the southern kingdom, and they hadn't quite, their judgment day hadn't quite come just yet. They were a little bit more faithful to the Lord than those northern ten tribes. And yet, this message of comfort, I think, really applies to both, and to us as well, that we find comfort in the Lord and understanding that He is the one that brings restoration. And so look what he says through the prophet Isaiah. He said, you know what? Your warfare is over. Your iniquity has been pardoned. But you've been dealt with. And notice he said, hey, listen, don't you forget that you have judgment coming, and it's for the nation of Judah, it's going to come pretty soon. For Israel, it was coming, it had already come. But he said, listen, you've received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And so you're right, hey, listen, you're forgiven, but there's still a price to pay for the sin that you've committed against God. And how often do we think that, you know what, when we ask forgiveness, why, that's a get-out-of-jail-free card. And we can, God just wipes it away, and, you know, God does forgive our sin. But there are consequences for our sin, even when it's forgiven. We see that in David's life, don't we? David was a man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart, but he was also a man that made some boneheaded choices and just made some dumb moves. And it not only affected David, but David's sons, in a lot of ways, had the same characteristics that David had. And David's household, his family, for generations, was affected by David's unfaithfulness, not only to God, but by his adultery and those kind of things, that affected his family for generations to come. Was David forgiven? I think absolutely he was forgiven. But there, he had some penalties to pay because of his sin. And so God said, you know what? Yeah, punishment is never easy. We don't like being punished, just like we don't like being told no. And yet, if it's godly punishment, and godly punishment, by the way, the focus or the end game is always restoration. And that's the purpose of that punishment and the chastening. Writer Hebrews tells us that who the Lord loves, He chastens or corrects, disciplines. Discipline, again, is not fun, but its purpose, again, is to bring restoration. And so he said, listen, there's this voice crying out in the wilderness. Remember, all of the north and the southern kingdom were going to be basically burned up, knocked down, destroyed. Every valuable thing was going to be pillaged and taken off to foreign lands. Their wealth was gone. They were left with nothing when they came back. And what a reminder, by the way, that sometimes God has to take everything away from us to get us to trust Him and know that He's all that we need. And Israel had finally learned that lesson when they came back from captivity. They said, listen, there's one crying out in this wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And we hear that in the New Testament. And it's applied to John the Baptist. And, talking about, making declaration of the Lord's coming. But notice we see, he said, you know what? We're going to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In other words, we're going to make a track to the Lord's house. We're not going to let weeds grow up in the Lord's parking lot, if you will, like they had, by neglecting gathering for worship. They said, we're not going to do that anymore. He said, those things that are crooked, God's going to straighten out. And those rough places, the Lord will smooth. In other words, God's going to be with, and God's going to work things out for His people's good. Just like Paul says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. And so Isaiah says, hey, listen, we need to remember that the punishment that we're about to receive and the hard times that are coming, we've brought on ourselves. But the Lord said that He was going to bring us out of it, just like He brought us into it. And He reminds us, listen, it was the Assyrians and the Babylonians that would take these two nations captive. But the Bible reminds us over and over again, hey, it was God that used these heathen yo-yos. And just as God used those heathens, God was going to judge those heathens. And we remember that Isaiah has already pronounced woe on some of those nations, including the Babylonians and the Assyrians, that God was going to judge them for the wickedness that they had done on earth. And so God said, you know what? Yeah, you're in turmoil. Everything seems to be broken. Everything seems to be out of place. And yet God is going to work to put it all back together again. The reality is the nation of Israel couldn't do it by themselves because everything they had was gone. But God was going to send back. And not to get ahead of our story, but you remember from biblical history, you remember that the story of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was a cupbearer and a servant to the king, and the king noticed his servant, and Nehemiah had evidently become his friend as well. Noticed he was sad, and he said, hey, Nehemiah, what's up? And you remember what the king did. You remember what Artaxerxes did. He said, hey, you go back home and you rebuild. And not only did he let Nehemiah go, he said, hey, let me give you some money to pay for it. And let me give you some letters so that you can get wood that you need. And that people will, you know. And so even though God brought judgment, God also brought restoration. And isn't that wonderful that God is able to do that? And so God reminded Isaiah and the people of that 8th century B.C., and he reminds us that God is able to bring great restoration. Secondly, God is able to bring great strength. Look with me in verses 9 and 12. Isaiah points out the great strength of God. He said, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? And so Isaiah asks this series of rhetorical questions to remind us that, hey, listen, God, there's a lot to praise God for, and God is able to do a lot of things. God is able to do all things. Nothing is impossible with God. And to make that point, Isaiah asked this question, hey, which one of you filled the oceans up with water? Which one of you, you know, measured out the land? Which, obviously, none. And yet, so says, well, obviously somebody did, and it wasn't us. So it must have been God. And what might and power that required. And so he gives us this wonderful reminder that it's not our hand and it's not our might, but it's God's hand and God's power that gets us through. So he says, listen, as you come and as you look to the Lord, remember, you've got a lot to praise the Lord for. And Isaiah gives us an important principle. Yeah, there is the strength of the Lord. God is mighty. He's all-powerful. But there's also a very real way in which God gives that strength to his people. But it doesn't come in strong muscles, a toned physique. Rather, it comes through our praises and through our prayers. You see, we're strongest and we're close to the, when we're praying, when we're down on it, when we're humble. That doesn't make sense to this world. The world says, if you want to be strong, don't cry and punch whoever you need to punch and kick whoever you need to kick to get what you want. That's what the world says. God says, no, that's not the secret to strength. The secret to strength is humility and praise. And that is something, remember, that was both the northern and the southern kingdom's downfall, was they'd stopped going to church, if you will. They stopped going to worship. They stopped bringing sacrifices. They stopped observing the Passover. They stopped reading the book. And they depended on their own strength. The ultimate undoing for both these kingdoms was they made alliances with foreign kings rather than looking to God. And so Isaiah is reminding them, hey, listen, learn your lesson. Don't have to repeat it. They thought strength was in alliances and muscles and weapons of war and in having money. And yet they were going to find out in a very, very real way very soon. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how many weapons you have when God is against you, you're in big trouble. And Isaiah reminds us, and as we look through the history that we have after the people return, Nehemiah and Ezra, we see, yeah, the people learned. And you know what? They learned that strength comes by humility. And strength and restoration and power is found not in ourselves, but in dependence upon God. It is a hard thing to depend on others. Most of us, and I think it's part of human nature, it is especially part of our American culture, we like to do things for ourselves. We don't want to ask anybody for help. And we see it as a sign of weakness when somebody asks for help. But really, truly, it is a major and a great sign of strength to ask someone for help. To recognize, hey, I can't do this, but I bet two of us together, why, we can get it done. And so he says, lift your voice up. Praise. What's he talking about? He's talking about our praise to God. And we come and we know and we understand God by our praises and by our prayers and by our service and our dependence upon Him. He says, then listen, God will come with a strong hand. And He'll guide you. And He'll direct you. His arm will rule you. And He's not talking about with an iron fist. Notice what He says now. He says that He'll be your shepherd. And that's one of the names that Jesus took up. Remember, He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They listen to my voice, and they obey. And so Isaiah said, listen, God will take His flock. He'll gather the lambs with His arm and carry them. In other words, He'll be gentle when He needs to be gentle. And you know, good parents, there's times that you need to be gentle. But you also, there's times you need to be firm, isn't there? And I know that's a hard balance to find. God doesn't have difficulty with it, though, but we sure do. He said he will gently lead those. He said God is taking care of things. Just as God took care of bringing you into judgment by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, he would deliver his people. And he would bring restoration. And so the people came to understand and find that, yes, indeed, there is great strength in the Lord. But the wonderful thing about this, and hearing and being reminded that God is working a great restoration, and that God is a God of great strength, the end of this chapter, Isaiah kind of brings it full circle. And he reminds them, yes, you know, God is these things. But he goes on and says, you know what? God is working these two great things for a reason. And the reason God's working these two great things is because God is building a great people. A great people that are not the most powerful, not the most smart, the smartest folks, people that will make bad decisions sometimes. And will find themselves in sin occasionally, and yet a people that God is working on, and a people that God is leading. So look with me at verses 27 through 31 of Isaiah chapter 40. It says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." But notice verse 31, "But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And so Isaiah, in this wonderful chapter of praise that we find here in Isaiah chapter 40, reminds us, hey, listen. I'm working among my people. He said, "Why do you say, Israel and Judah?" Hey, we're being taken advantage of. God's forgotten us. We haven't done anything wrong, and yet here we are in this mess. And how right that is, that our human nature, we don't see our own faults and we don't see our wrong, or we don't think our wrong is as bad as other people's wrongs. I say, hey, listen, the Lord's not listening to me. But Isaiah says, hey, the Lord is listening to you, and he is working in you. And he wants to do great things through you. He wants to create in you and with you a great people. A people of his name. He said, you know what? There'll be young men will, you know, they've got some stamina and can do a lot of things, but they eventually get tired. In other words, Isaiah is reminding us, hey, listen, Israel and Judah, you've learned the hard way that you can't do it on your own. And you don't have the power or the resources to live and be what God wants you to be. So he says, you know what? In your own strength, what's going to happen? You're going to fail. You're going to stumble. But oh, for verse 31, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. In other words, left to our own devices, we tire and we fail. But when God is leading us, and God is our strength, and God has restored us, guess what happens? We're able to accomplish some things for His glory. And we see God working in our life. And so we, you know, He gives the eagles are beautiful birds. They're big birds. I mean, when they put their wings out, my stars, they're, you don't want to tackle with one. They can fly miles and miles and miles and miles. And Isaiah is reminding us, you know what? The Lord's strength and the Lord's energy never gives out. And we had a great time swimming yesterday when the kids swam, the adults, and Sarah swam with the kids. Us older folks sat and hem-hawed and ate nachos and watched the kids swim. But you know what? Every one of us, I guarantee, took a nap after that. We were wore slap out. Sarah probably slept the rest of the day. I don't know. But yeah, she's young, but those two boys probably wore her out. And you know what? Even when we're doing things good for the Lord, if we do them in our own strength, we're in trouble because we're not going to be able to sustain it. But when the Lord is our strength, we can keep on keeping on. And we'll find that God is faithful. And so God, I think, wants to remind us of these important truths that, listen, God is working to bring a great restoration. He's working out of a source of great strength. He is almighty. He can do anything. He has all power. And He's working to build a great people. And so Isaiah says, hey, listen, let's make God great again. The people had, again, walked away from Him. They minimized. They didn't throw God completely out of their life, but they certainly had minimized Him. And listen, the reality is this, if God isn't great and He's not number one in your life, He might as well not be in your life. And as far as God's concerned, He's not. God says, I'm either number one or I'm nothing. And boy, Israel had to learn that lesson the hard way. It took a long time and it took a bunch of turmoil. But you know what? How often do we have to learn that very same lesson the hard way? How often do we have to learn, hey, listen, I can't do it on my own. I need the Lord and His help, but I also need other people that God's put in my life. I need their help too. And when we're humble and we depend on the Lord, we can do great things. Not because we're great, but because God is great. I hope God will encourage us with that. Maybe I saw Leslie looking in her hymn book. I think there's a little chorus in there. 454. And let's acapella it and as we close out and after we sing the first verse. No, there's only one verse. So we'll sing that one verse. Leslie will lead us. It's pretty simple, so I think you'll catch on. Maybe we better sing it through twice. Let's sing it through twice. So page 454, this great little chorus.